Okay, we started last time Perek Chav Beis. We'll start on page 54 on the top. Perek Chav Beis. 54 on top. Okay, now the Rebbe was discussing that the concept of creation came about with one word from Hashem's mouth, and therefore it's a very, very limited amount of godliness which was revealed. And speech of Hashem is even different than speech of a person, because speech of a person, the words leave us. By Hashem, there's nothing leaving Hashem, because Hashem is all over. So therefore, even when Hashem speaks, it's not something that leaves Hashem to become a separate entity, if it's really Hashem. But, he says, Torah does speak in a human term, that it does leave Hashem. What does it mean that Hashem's speech of creation leaves Hashem? So Daltabe started explaining at the beginning of Chav Beis that in our observation, in our understanding, godliness is so hidden, Hashem hides himself to such an extent that we don't even see him. And therefore we're going to start 6 lines in the top. He's saying that Hashem limits himself and conceals himself and hides himself to such an extent that evil can even exist. It lowers itself, it conceals itself, godliness, one level after another level after another level, till you don't see any godliness at all. So he says, L'chein nikra l'kim achedim, therefore, idol worshipping or anything of evil is called other gods. So Rashi in Chumash says, l'kim achedim means that others make them gods. Because you can't say other gods, because then there's no other god, there's only Hashem. When you say Elokim Achedim, it means, Rashi says in Chumash, Achedim, others make them gods. But here the Alter Rebbe is defining it a little bit differently. Why is it called Elokim Achedim? Mipnei Shini Kosim V'chayusim. Because the nourishment and existence of evil, which by the way, exists from Hashem, everything has to exist from Hashem. Even an idol, which is seemingly the opposite of Hashem, idol's existence, who's giving it existence? Hashem is making it exist. If Hashem's power would leave the idol for a second, it would disappear. So Hashem is making the idol exist, but that this nourishment from godliness, ein b'chinas panim, is not for me, so to speak, internal face-to-face level, elam b'chinas achorayim the kedusha. From the back levels of Kedusha. What does it mean? Well, Pirush Achorayim. What does it mean, the opposite levels? Ka'adam and Nesin Dava L'Seini. If a person gives something to his enemy, Shalei B'Tseini, that you don't want to give it. Meaning, what happens if you hate somebody, but you're forced to give them something? So what do? If he says, Shemashlich Alei Kal'achar K'seifai, you throw it over your shoulders, you don't look at the person. You don't want to look at them. You give it to them and you throw it like over your shoulders. Ki machzid panav mimenu, because he turns his face from them. Misin asi eisi, because he hates the person. So that is saying a very simple, important concept. You can have two people that are standing mamish next to each other, but they are literally a whole world apart. What is the analogy? If they're back to back. If two people are standing next to each other, back to back, because they hate each other, and they don't want to look at each other, so they're really mamish the whole world away from each other. You can have two people on opposite ends of the world, so to speak, looking at each other, not physically, obviously, but in the concept of looking at each other, then they're mamish next to each other. Elokim Achedim means that the nourishment of evil comes from the back levels of God, meaning it's like you throw something over your shoulder, you're giving it to the person, but it's not something you want to do, not something you're interested in doing, and definitely not something you enjoy doing. So yes, evil exists from the power of Hashem, but it's not the panim, the face-to-face of Hashem, it's the external levels of godliness. What does it mean it's external levels? You don't even see God's face, meaning you don't even see and feel that really God is making it exist. Because it gets to a point that not only doesn't it feel that God is making it existing, it's anti-God. It's an idol which is evil or an idol, whatever, that's opposing God and fighting God. That level is called Elokim Achedim, meaning they are existing from the external levels of godliness, that really Hashem doesn't even want them. They're only there for people to be able to make the free choice to serve them or not to serve them. In other words, there is what's called in Siddhis Pnimius Haratzin, the real will, and Chitzenius Haratzin, the external will. What does this mean? A person wants to work. They want to work. They have a will to work, a desire to work. But that's not the real purpose. The real purpose is because they want to make money. In order to make money, you have to work. The real will is to make money. The external will, the chitzenius will, is to work. So you can imagine, you can take it a step further. The ultimate will is not money. The ultimate will is to be able to live. So, you know, you need money in order to live. It's all a bunch of steps. But just to stop by these two levels. A person wants to work, but that's not the real will. The real will is to make money. In order to make money, you have to work, so I want to work. Hashem doesn't want evil. Why does Hashem want evil? Because in order for good to be good, you need the opportunity to do bad. Because if you don't have the opportunity to do bad, and you can only do good, so when you do good, it's not worth anything. So the real will of Hashem is that a Jew should do Torah mitzvahs. But in order for that to happen, Hashem has to want to have evil. But it's not that Hashem wants evil. It's not the real will of Hashem. The real will of Hashem is that Jew should do Torah mitzvahs. And you can even take a step about creation. Hashem's ultimate goal is that a Jew should do Torah mitzvahs. In order to do Torah mitzvahs, you need a world. So Hashem wanted a world. But the ultimate purpose is not creation of the world. The ultimate purpose of creating the world is for a Jew to do Torah mitzvahs in the world. The same thing with Alter Rebbe is explaining over here. Evil exists from Hashem, because everything has to exist from Hashem. But it's not a level that Hashem wants to have. He really doesn't want to have it. He never has to keep it existing, because if evil is not existing, then good is not good. So Hashem like feeds evil by throwing it over the shoulders, nourishing it, but it's not really what Hashem wants. That means you don't see the real face of the person. You don't see the real desire of the person. Okay? You don't see the real purpose of the person. What you see is something the person never has to do. And that's the way evil is. And that's what he says. Kach l'mayla. So it is in the spiritual realms. Pchinis panim, the level of panim, the face, means pnimius haratzon al-elyon, the real will of Hashem. The chetzei amiti, and the real desire of Hashem, asher chafetz Hashem, which Hashem really wants. What does Hashem really want? Lashpia chayis, to give life, l'chol hakarev elam, to those that are close to him, Misitra Kedusha, from the side of Kedusha. Meaning, like the Alter Rebbe explained before, something which is bottle to Hashem, something which is subjugated and given over to Hashem, Hashem wants to exist. Hashem really wants it. Everything that's not bottle to Hashem, meaning evil, Hashem really doesn't want it to exist. The only reason he wants it to exist is because in order for good to be good, I need that also. But that's not the real purpose of creation. He says, "Avol sitra achavra tuma," but evil and impurities. He teyavas Hashem is the despicable abomination of Hashem, ashesani, which he hates. Vein mashpiyo lo chayis mepnimis eratzin nechefsi amiti, and therefore Hashem does not sustain it and give it the real chayis, the chefsi amiti, and his true desire, ashechafis ba chasishom, that he really wants. Kim command the shodeh basikatfin l'soni. But the way Hashem gives life to evil, he's like throws it over his shoulder to his enemy, shalei b'tzeini, against his will. Why? Lahanish yisroshan, to punish the wicked, v'leiting sachatev l'tzadikim, and to be able to reward the tzadikim, this kafin l'sitrachu, break evil. And like we said, reward and punishment could only be if you have a choice to do something else. I'll give you an example. You don't reward somebody for breathing. You don't reward somebody for breathing because they have no choice. They have to breathe. If they don't breathe, they're not alive. So you don't reward somebody for breathing because they don't have the option to do something else. When do you give somebody reward and punishment? If you have the choice to do good and you do bad, so you punish. If you have the choice to do bad and you do good, then you're rewarded. So in order to have reward and punishment, you must have good and bad. Because if we're programmed only to do good, then what are you getting rewarded for? Like malachim, angels, don't have reward and punishment as a rule. There are a few exceptions. But angels don't have reward because the angels don't have a yetzahara. They're programmed to do good. So if you're programmed to do good and you have no choice but to do good, you're not going to get rewarded for doing good. Reward and punishment, as we all know, is when you have the option to do bad and you do good. Then you get rewarded. If you have the option to do good and you do bad, then you get punished.
After coming of Mashiach, we do only good, right?
Correct. There's not going to be any more reward. True. I mean, after Tchis HaMeisim, not... right.
Oh, then there's no Bechira.
After Tchis HaMeisim. There is a level of Bechira.
I mean, after 40 years?
As long as it takes. In a rush. By then, nobody, time is not going to matter. Then everybody's not, you're not going to be in a rush. But you have to understand, like we learned, if a tzaddik has no yetzahara, tzaddik by Tanya's definition kills the yetzahara. So how does a tzaddik have free choice of good and bad if he has no yetzahara? Right? So the answer is, Chassidus explains, that the free choice of a tzaddik between good and bad is the choice between good and better. Good compared to better is bad. If you're supposed to do better, and you do good, that's bad. But that's relative to good itself. Right? So maybe after Mashiach and Tchis HaMeisim, maybe there will be an our concept of good and better. Maybe, I don't know. But now, the option is good and bad.
Can you give examples of good and better?
Good and better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a 95 is a good mark on a test, but 100 is better. Is 95 a bad mark?
Choice.
What do you mean? So of course they have choice. Study five points more. Study a little bit extra. No, why not? 95 is a like the kids say, it's not a bad grade. Right? It's not bad. 95 is pretty good. But 100 is better. Of course it's an example. I can give you more examples, but this is a simple one. Why isn't it good? Some people cook good, some people cook gooder, better, weller, whatever.
Some are excellent cooks.
Yeah, some are good cooks, some are better cooks. Some are good baseball players, some are better baseball players. They get more money, sometimes. The Moshech Siddur gives for the choice between good and better, we learned already many times. With the story of the Melchim Shnabel with Tzedakri. What's wrong with it? How many Mishalim do you need?
I know, only know one, I want another one.
Understand? It's a very simple difference between good and better. Giving 10 cents for Tzedakah is good. Giving a dollar is better. Now, if somebody should have given a dollar and they gave 10 cents, that's bad. On their level, it's bad. Now, giving 10 cents for tzedakah is not bad. Right? It's a mitzvah. But relative to what they should be doing, it's bad. So it's not good and bad eating chazer or giving tzedakah. Right? That the tzaddik doesn't have the free choice because he doesn't have a yetzer and he doesn't want to eat chazer. The question is, should he give 10 cents or should he give a dollar?
He has to give a dollar and he gives 10 cents. He's not a tzaddik.
Why isn't he a tzaddik? Did he do anything bad?
No.
Did he do a mitzvah?
One minute.
Did he do a mitzvah?
Yeah.
Did he do any aveda?
No.
So why is he, why he could be a tzaddik? You don't think a tzaddik can give 10 cents? Tzaddik can give 10 cents. Why can't the tzaddik give out 10 cents? Rabbi give out dimes. Why can't the tzaddik give out dimes? But is it on their level? Compared to what they should be doing, it's bad. A kid who should get 100 on the test and gets 95 on the test is bad. Not that it's bad, not that 95 is a bad grade. Relative to what the kid should have gotten, it's bad. And that's why we learned many times, based in Perek Tezvav of Tanya, if there's a kid that could only get a 70 and gets a 70, and another kid that got 100, that should get 100, got a 95, the 70 is better than the 95. The 70 is better than the 95. Because this kid got what he could get, and this kid got less than what he could get. Right. So that's the difference between good and better. Sometimes it's not a question of potential. It's a question to figure out what's right and what's wrong. Or what's right and what's better. So a tzaddik who's on a higher level has to be able to figure out the difference between good and better. By us, the main concern is not to sin or to sin. By a tzaddik, the concern is to do better than good. That doesn't mean good is bad. Relative to his level is bad. And that's why every person has to be judged individually. If you could do something and you should have done it better, you failed.
If you have to pray and you study Torah and don't pray.
So you have to know what halacha says. Does halacha say now it's better to pray, now it's not better to learn?
It's not one good and bad.
Depends for whom. The Gemara tells a story. There's a person learning, and then they stop to daven. So the person said to him, "Menichin chaya elam ve'eskim b'chaya shah. You're forgetting the world's existence, Torah, and you're going only to daven." And as he told him, learning is better than daven. And he answered him back, "No, time for Torah is Torah. Time for davening is davening. What's better? It depends. What halacha says is better." Like we learned, the famous Gemara that says, if a person is learning Torah and an opportunity of a mitzvah comes, do you stop learning to do the mitzvah or do you keep on learning? So the Gemara gives a guideline. And the Shulchan Aruch gives a guideline. a mitzvah that can be done through somebody else. I mean, somebody else can do the mitzvah. You keep learning and don't stop. If nobody else can do the mitzvah, stop learning to do the mitzvah. So the question is, it doesn't make sense. Because is learning better, then you should always keep learning, regardless. If the mitzvah is better, then always stop to do the mitzvah. What's this? Says the Hakta Chayinik. If somebody else could do the mitzvah, let them do the mitzvah, you keep learning. If nobody could do the mitzvah, stop learning and do the mitzvah. Which one's better? Learning, is learning better? Or is mitzvah better? Which one's better? So explanation is very simple. The truth is, learning is better. But the ultimate purpose of creation is that mitzvah should be done. Because that brings the Shekhinah down. So if somebody else is going to accomplish the godliness into the world, somebody else will do the mitzvah. For you, learning is higher. Keep on learning. The main concept of the mitzvah is to bring godliness into the world. That's going to be done. But if the godliness won't be into the world, because nobody's going to do the mitzvah, so even though learning for you is a greater revelation of godliness, but that's not the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to do mitzvahs. So if nobody else is going to do the mitzvah, do the mitzvah.
This is not matter of choice, it's matter of aloha.
That's what I'm saying, but you have to know what aloha says to do. Is this way better, or is this way better? Sometimes it's both are good. Learning is good, and davening is good. Or mitzvahs are good. They're both good.
But here is not better. Here is only halacha.
But halacha says this is better.
Oh, okay.
So that's what halacha is saying. Not, neither of them are bad. Not Torah is bad, not davening is bad, and not mitzvahs are bad.
But it's not your choice. You have rules.
That's what a tzaddik also doesn't have the choice. He has to follow the rules. If you have to do better than good, then you have to find out what the better is and do the better rather than the good. So tzaddik has it, in fact, harder because his definition of good and bad is not as clear-cut as our definition of good and bad. It's a much higher choice. But he's in a higher level, so he has to do it. And every person on their own level is not only a choice sometimes between good and bad, but we have to make choices between good and better. What's good for our kids and what's better for our kids. What's good for us and what's better for us. That's what has to be done. Sometimes the choice is not easy. You don't know what's good and what's better. But that's why you have Taylor to guide what's better and what's better. You have to find out. You have to find out what to do. I guess finish this last line. V'zeh nikra b'chinis achorayim d'rotzen oyim baruch hu. And this level of Hashem wanting evil to exist, and because of that, He sustains them, that's called the external, backsided level of godliness, so to speak. Because Hashem only wants them to exist for punishment and reward, for good and good to be good and bad to be bad. But not that Hashem really wants evil. Evil is not bottled to Hashem. Hashem doesn't want evil as a thing by itself. In other words, what I've been saying here, just to recap the thing, evil is only a means to an end. Evil is not an end by itself. Kedusha is a thing by itself. Evil only exists for good to be good. Good is good because good is good. Evil exists because it's a means for good to be good. Okay, like we said before, next week there's a wedding.